Today on Being Disciples, crafting your Jesus, creating God in our image is the making of an idol. How do we do this, even unwittingly at times?
Welcome to the Being Disciples podcast with Pastor John. All notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us. This is a weekly podcast published every Monday that is meant to help believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ to mature in their faith. These principles should be useful to anyone who listens, but especially for the believers who are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. You're invited on this journey to explore what it means to be a disciple. Let's begin by joining Pastor John with an opening prayer. Pastor John?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for so great a love that you have for us, that you sent your only begotten Son to redeem us and to restore us into a right relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, that for the joy set before you, you were willing to leave the majesty of heaven to come into this world, your creation, to redeem us and to restore us into a loving relationship with the Father. Thank you for laying down your life for us, both in the living of it and in the dying. In life, you showed us how we ought to live in intimacy with the Father, following the leading of Holy Spirit and loving one another. In death, you gave your body for us, bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions. You were beaten, battered, and bloodied, even pierced to the shedding of your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Now we ask you to give us the words to say and to open our ears and hearts to hear what you would say to us. Please bless all who join us today and all who hear this message on a recording. Amen.
Welcome to episode 49, Crafting Your Jesus. I think we can all agree that if one was to make a copy of something, the copy is not the original. Likewise, if one was to alter an original, the original would no longer be the same as its initial state. We were not made a copy of our former selves. Rather, we were made new. We are not clones. We were altered as we were born again. We were changed by the power of God, and we were reestablished in the proper relationship with God, which He intended for us from the beginning. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." What was the change? For the one who has been born again, the spirit of the person has come alive, taking the lead over the body and the soul. The previous state of the person was to satisfy the body and soul, with all its lusts and desires, rarely giving consideration to the spirit. This produces a seismic shift in one's worldview. The spirit, having come alive, seeks first the ways of God as the mind is renewed, and the soul takes its proper place under the spirit, followed by the body, which is also brought under the subjection to the spirit. The spirit of a person is to take the lead under the guidance of Holy Spirit, whom God gave to us for our benefit. This can be a battle to bring oneself into proper order as the mind is being renewed. This is due to strongholds which must be torn down and cast away. We looked at this specifically in episode 31, Tearing Down Strongholds. We must destroy the strongholds in order to be conformed to the image of Christ. Being conformed to Christ is one of the goals to strive for after being born again. It is the plan of God. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be called the firstborn among many brothers." What happens if the image of Christ one has is in error? What if the beliefs and impressions are not the same as the truth? Will an initial warped view cause a warped result? Of course it will. How can one imitate truth when the truth is unknown, or changed through misunderstanding? What if one had believed a lie, being indoctrinated through deception? The errors in thinking need to be corrected. The lies believed need to be overcome. In order to be successful in doing so, one must humble oneself, admitting the errors of one's ways, rejecting the lies, and through such repentance, seek the truth. The first lesson may well be to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. Holy Spirit, I believe, provides saving faith, which leads to our being born again. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." God saves us from suffering the penalty due to us because of our sinfulness. This is not done through anything we do so as to earn salvation, but by faith, which is also a gift from God. We must win the warfare which begins in the mind and grow into the faith which enables us to live righteous lives. A common argument for some who resist the love of God and reject some of the truths of God, or worse, reject salvation altogether, is, "I could never have a God who would," and you fill in the blank. This comes from a misunderstanding of the true nature of God. We all have some baggage that weighs down the soul. This could be in how one was raised as a child or not raised. This could be from one's education or lack of education. This could be as a result of trauma or abuse that has not been dealt with to bring deliverance or healing. Whatever the source, our culture, our society, our indoctrination has formed the beliefs we hold on to as we enter the new life of a personal relationship with God. The misguided beliefs will restrict the depth of the relationship we can enter into. This is one of the battles we must fight and overcome. This war is won through humbling oneself to change those beliefs and come into agreement with the truth of the matter in question. If one chooses to hold on to beliefs concerning God that are not in line with the truth, the person will have a warped view of God. Unfortunately for us, most of the misconceptions we hold on to have emotional triggers. If the solution was to simply consider a logical argument, then anyone who is being intellectually honest would receive the truth. The emotional component, however, does not like to let go of something so easily. There may be a need for emotional healing before a truth can be received. There may be a need for deliverance from a lying spirit, some form of deception, or something else, before a belief can be changed. There may be a need for forgiveness for oneself or for another person to bring freedom from the stronghold in question. Again, see episode 31, Tearing Down Strongholds. One part of being conformed to the image of Christ is to bring one's beliefs into alignment with the mind of Christ. Christ is the Savior who delivers one from the penalty of sin. Christ is also the Lord who has all power and authority. If we are not aligned with the mind of Christ, how can we call him Lord? If we are unwilling to bring our will and beliefs into alignment with Christ, therefore not being able to call him Lord, can we still claim him to be our Savior? How can we put our faith in someone with whom we have fundamental differences in beliefs? This is something we need to ponder as we consider our relationship with God. We need to determine the basis of truth for our life. Is the baseline current knowledge? Is it what we have been taught? Is it the traditions under which we were raised and have lived with? Is it the popular opinion of the day in which we live? Can a disciple have any basis of truth other than Scripture? I do not believe there can be any other final truth, as Scripture is the written word of God. We cannot be conformed to the image of Christ while simultaneously and knowingly holding beliefs in opposition to the Word of God. To knowingly oppose Scripture is rebellion. To oppose the Word of God is akin to opposing God himself. It is to basically call God a liar. This is where I call the behavior crafting your Jesus. Rather than accepting Jesus for who he is and for who Scripture says he is, and the Word of God which he has given to us, the Jesus of one's mind is something other than the original. A Jesus altered or manufactured is not the original Jesus at all. When we alter God as such, that becomes a lower G God or an idol. When we worship something other than God, that is the God according to Scripture, the practice is idolatry. We must seek truth if we are to have an intimate relationship with God. That is why it is so important for us to determine what we will consider to be the baseline for truth in our life. The basis for truth I used to have was the doctrine and tradition of the religion in which I was raised. When I received salvation, I began to compare what I had been taught to what is written in Scripture. After seeing a number of discrepancies, I determined in my heart that the Scripture was the baseline of truth for my life from then on. When encountering the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus told her, and this is recorded in John chapter 4, verses 23 to 24, "But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. We are to have a spiritual relationship with God, and we are to do so in truth. You can refer back to episode 41, Pursuing God, for more on that topic. What is the definition of God? In the Merriam-Webster Online, it refers to God, the supreme or ultimate reality, such as A, the being perfect in power, wisdom, and goodness, who is worshipped, as in Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and Hinduism, as creator and ruler of the universe. Or a small g god, to treat as a god, idolize, deify. God is the supreme reality on which all else depends. As we see in this excerpt I'm going to read from episode 14, A Matter of Position. It goes, Almighty God is the ruler over the realm of mankind. There are many lessons here, but for our current study, we are looking at the Most High. There are not many gods, but one God. Moses recorded in Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, the only Lord. And in 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 5, For there is only one God, and only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. God is above all. By definition, according to Merriam-Webster, God is the supreme or ultimate reality. If there were to be equal or superior, God would no longer be supreme or ultimate, and therefore not actually God. Thus, Almighty God would not be the Most High. Our faith, however, does assert there is one God, the Most High, and so we do not acknowledge other gods. As we refer back to previous episodes, we can see how all these thoughts and things in the Christian life are intertwined. This is why we are to consider the whole counsel of Scripture, not individual verses alone. Seeing that God is sovereign and above all, as well as there being only one God, who are we to define him and who he should be and how he should act? We ought to work to discover who God is in truth and change our misconceptions to come into agreement with that truth. If we refuse to do so, we continue in the deception of the world and of the father of lies, the devil. Let's briefly pause here so Garrett can give us a reminder of where you can find these notes to continue your study on the topic.
Let's take just a moment to remind you that all notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, it's virtualstudywith.us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study.
Thank you for those reminders, Garrett. Today, I'm going to continue on with the study for a few more minutes, and we do not have a guest lined up today, so this will be a little shorter podcast than normal. But we looked at the beginning of how to understand that there is one God and that we need to adjust our living and our beliefs to match what Scripture says. Now, the first of the Ten Commandments can be a promise of truth that brings confidence to our faith. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 to 7, Moses wrote, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, while there is a command here to have no other gods, that's small g gods, this is also an assurance that our personal relationship is with the supreme sovereign creator, the capital G God, the omnipresent or ever-present, the omniscient or all-knowing, the omnipotent or all-powerful, God, the creator of all things seen and unseen. He desires to have a personal relationship with us, his creation. That is amazing, and we have no need to go elsewhere to serve other gods. There is none higher than Almighty God, and we have access to personal contact with him. God created man and woman in his image. We learn this in the creation account in Genesis 1. Again, recorded in Genesis 1, verses 26 to 27, we read, Then God said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. There are a number of lessons here, but the one we are interested in is that mankind was created in God's image. That being the case, we cannot manufacture a God that is in the image we desire to have as God. Creating a God in the image we desire breaks a number of commandments. First, there is the commandment we just looked at, which told us, "You shall have no other gods before me." The second commandment, in my opinion, is also broken in this case. It refers to idolatry. In verses 8 through 10 of Deuteronomy 5, it's recorded, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." Though one may not have a carved idol of the image of God created in one's mind, is it really far off? That image is bowed down to in one's heart and is served through one's actions. The point is that an untrue image of a God is placed before the true image of God Almighty. If one thinks there is no other God served, but simply a rejection of the true God, then the rebellion, which is a form of hatred for God, is warned against in the second commandment. The deception of this world is that one can be free from serving anyone. However, apart from Christ, all are slaves to sin. Jesus told a group of Jews who their father was. Recorded in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." The question is, who do we believe? The God of truth and love, or the devil who lies and hates? It is one or the other, and as much as we would like to believe we can be independent of it all, we are slaves to sin or free in Christ. Earlier in that same chapter of the Gospel according to John, Jesus told the people who claimed to have never been enslaved that they were slaves to sin or set free by the Son. In verses 34 to 36 in John 8, we read, "Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" In the sixth chapter of the books of Romans, Paul talks about death in sin and life in God. He asserts that we are either slaves to sin or slaves to righteousness. The result of each, he writes, is quite different. In Romans 6, verse 23, he wrote, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." A few verses earlier, he warns that we are obedient slaves to something or someone. In verses 16 through 18 of Romans 6, Paul wrote, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness." The choices we make concerning our life, our behavior, and our eternity are all a reflection of the image of God we hold to. The image we create is false and leads to idolatry, rejection of God, and death. The true image of God, when we trust in Him and accept the truth of God, leads to righteousness and eternal life. I do believe we have a free will, which is a gift from God born out of His love for us. Rather than force us to obey and serve Him as if we were puppets, He gives us the choice as to whether we will love Him and enjoy the rewards of that relationship, or if we will reject Him and reap the fruit of our sinfulness. I also believe the free will He gives us is limited to a couple of things. The first thing is what I just described. We are free to choose whether or not we will follow Christ and receive eternal life. The second thing is for those who do follow Christ, which is the freedom to choose whether or not we will be obedient in love. Those who reject Christ remain subjected to sin and the penalties that come from serving oneself in sin. There's more on this in episode 24, Obedience in Love, and episode 45, Renewing the Mind, and episode 48, Sin No More. There's plenty to be studied on this topic. How does one know the true image of God? Primarily through the Word of God, Scripture. God tells us who He is and what He wants to be for us. In episode 30, Who God Says He Is, we look at the verses that have the various names of God. I believe the name of God is Jehovah or Yahweh. Both of these names mean I am, or the self-existent one, which basically describes God as the supreme or ultimate reality, as we looked at earlier as the definition of God. He is the creator of all things seen and unseen. All the other names describe the attributes of God and their relationship to us, His creation, created in His image. In episode 16, Identity in Christ, Who God Says I Am, we look at the verses that describe what God says about those who love Him, His children. The combination of the verses in these two episodes paints the picture of who God is, who we are in Christ, and the relationship between the two. Learning these things from Scripture paints the true image of God upon our heart. This leaves only the third leg of faith to be dealt with, which is trusting God to perform all that He said. Remember what I refer to as a working definition of faith. To have faith and to operate in faith, I need to be able to answer yes to these three questions. Do I believe that God is who He says He is? Do I believe that I am who God says I am? Do I believe that God will do what He says He will do? If I can answer yes to each of these three questions, I can mature in a loving relationship with God, with both God and myself in the image He states to be the truth, the true image of God in self. If I cannot answer yes to any of these questions, I am subject to continuing on with a false image of God and self. That false image is how we craft God and Jesus, the Son, in the image of our own imagination. There are reasons for this, the main reason being we have not humbled ourselves before God and have not received forgiveness for sin and deliverance from our slavery to sin. It may be due to a case of deception and believing the lie. It may be due to a lack of information or of hearing the good news of the gospel of salvation. Whatever the case may be, it can be overcome by those who are seeking truth and are willing to remove the error in preconceived ideas, replacing them with the truth of Scripture. This may be more difficult in some cases than in others. We all have baggage that we bring into relationships, and the relationship with God is no different. Many factors in our upbringing can negatively affect our view of parents, of authority, of love, or of any number of things. These things can only be overcome by humility and reception of the truths of Scripture. This is the only way to be set free from the bondages and strongholds that have been established in our sinful life. Episode 25, A Relationship with God, and episode 31, Tearing Down Strongholds, are excellent to look at in this case. Disciples of Christ are set free from the bondage of sin and the law of sin and death. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 to 32, we read this. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, "If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Paul reiterates this in his epistle, Romans. In Romans 8, verses 1 to 2, he wrote, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." The image of God, whether Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, must progressively be transformed to come into alignment with Scripture. Scripture is not bent to our beliefs. God is not conformed to the image we hold on to in our mind. We, being born again, are to reject the falsehoods we have believed and replace them with the truths of Scripture. We need to unlearn some things that we may learn and accept the truth. If there is something in our heart that causes us to say, "I could never have a God who would," fill in the blank, it is incumbent upon us to search out the truth on the matter, to humble ourselves and believe the truth. Believe that I am who God says I am. Believe that God is who he says he is. Believe that God will do what he says he will do. There is a great reward of peace and salvation, eternal life, for those who believe. Jesus tells of this in his own words. We find him in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is a matter of a loving relationship and deliverance from sin and death unto eternal life. It is available to all who will believe. The important aspect here is to believe the truth and to reject the lies and deception in the world today. Craft your Jesus in the truth of Scripture, not in the vain imaginations and falsehoods of man and the devil. So I encourage you to go look into this more, to do an honest self-evaluation, a little introspection. What do I believe about God? Is it lined up with Scripture? Any beliefs that we have, we need to transform into conforming with the Scripture to be conformed into the image of Christ. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share this message. I pray that each one of us will take it to heart, find where our beliefs are in error according to Scripture, that you would humble us to the point that we can walk with you, correcting our misconceptions, that we can walk with you in your loving kindness, that your love will be gentle with us in nurturing the true beliefs within our heart. I pray for anyone out there that is struggling with this because of their background, because of their previous beliefs, because of any abuse or turmoil they've been through, any trauma, anything that would cause them to not believe in you as it says in Scripture, that you would comfort them and console them, make their heart tender to receive the truth of the gospel, to receive the truth of the Scripture, that you would be with them and lead them in a mighty way into the knowledge of the truth for the salvation of their souls, in Jesus' name, amen. So thank you for joining me today on Being Disciples. Next time on Being Disciples, our topic will be Add to Faith. Faith is the foundational building block, but what are we to build upon it? We're going to take a little closer look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7 to explore this topic. So please join us next time on Being Disciples.
Thank you for joining us today on this episode of Being Disciples. The show is hosted on Podbean. You can find it at beingdisciples.podbean.com. Again, it's beingdisciples.podbean.com. There you can find all episodes of this podcast. There's also a Patreon button you can use to support this broadcast if you feel so moved, and we thank you. You can also find us on your favorite podcast platform. The notes and links for this show can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us, virtual study with us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study. From the site, you can contact us if you would like to join a study group. If you have questions or comments for Pastor John, you can contact him by email at john.anoka@virtualstudywith.us. That's john.anoka@virtualstudywith.us, or through the contact form on the main page of the website. Please subscribe to this podcast and join us again next week as we learn more about being disciples.